Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this September 28th edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM on the Pacific Dial in collaboration with ycradio.org. Yes, right. The York College community is connected to us here on WBAI. Well, today we're going to have an incredible interview with Kenneth Henry, who I have dubbed as a phenomenal reparations advocate. We're going to hear about her story, unsung hero, if you will. But then we're going to get up on a soapbox and talk about a number of issues, not the least of which will in fact be why elections matter, the Breonna Taylor travesty that occurred, the death of the iconic notorious RBG, and the question of why elections matter. We'll be up on the soapbox. Phone will be open for you to comment at the bottom of the hour. But before we do, we just want to continue to talk about sharing with our other hosts and the station's commitment to our safety as a community. COVID-19, we got to avoid the spike. There's already reports that some neighborhoods in Queens and in Brooklyn, there are upticks. We don't need to relax. I can record the other day walking from the supermarket home. I just happened to look over into a nail polishing or nail, whatever, prep shop. And, you know, people were kicked back, you know, all up close to each other, no masks, indoors. Prescription for disaster. Barbershop, I checked one of those, same thing. We have to maintain vigilance. We cannot relax, because if we relax, the virus will be back, and it will be back with a vengeance. So I also always say it's we, us, and our, not me, myself, and I. It's not about my male testosterone, you know, whatever it is that's driving a lot of these people. I just heard a report about people going down to South Carolina for bikers' events, you know, these. Yeah, some of them go, yeah, a lot of them going to catch the virus. And even if you catch the virus, even if you survive, and we hope people do, unfortunately, the consequences that people are often harmed and crippled thereafter. So let's be intelligent. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about we, us, and ours. It's about having values, community values. Can we look after each other? That's what it's about. And so, you know, New York has been pretty good at it. But if we relax, and I understand that's why we don't want to relax. I mean, you know, it's difficult. But let's just stay the course and get through this so we can return to normalcy. Speaking of the spike and uptick, we're going into the winter season. WBAI is partnering with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and its Black Family Summit with the Community Cares Listening Line. We've gotten calls as people are concerned about what to do in relationship guidance about their kids going back to school. All of these issues are issues in terms of any anxieties, questions, referrals that you need to be to make, particularly in our African-American communities across the city and in this tri-state area. You can call 877-719-1117, 877-719-1117. That's the Community Cares Listening Line in order for you to, if you're feeling, you know, just anxious. You know, some people are feeling suicidal. There are questions of domestic violence, child abuse. Call 877-719-1117 for culturally appropriate listening and then referral. And I use my word advisedly because when I'm saying culturally appropriate, how do Black folks and people of African descent treat these issues? And sometimes they are handled in a different kind of way than the general population. Lastly, just 4 days left before the census matter, resources matter. Sign up for the census, folks. We need the resources, particularly in marginalized communities, the Black and brown communities and underserved communities that are suffering with the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, also this pandemic of police killings have exposed the utter need for resources. So 4 more days before the census, please sign up. Also, register to vote. The deadline is October 9th. Register to vote. Elections matter. If you don't know that by now, you should. Register to vote. And if you're, you can do early voting. People who don't want to, and my wife and I, we just talked it over. We're not going to do the mail thing. And if you need to do the mail thing, do that as well. But you got to get your ballot in on time. Get it in on time. Hurry, get it in, because you don't want to not have your ballot counted. But early voting begins on Saturday, October 24th, and it goes for several days. And speaking of it, I just checked in Queens, I'm sorry, York College is a voting site. So that's where I will be returning to my old place of work in order to also, to vote early. So we're not standing in line on election day. Also, you can go to the New York State Board of Elections or New York City Board of Elections to get all of that information, all of which matters. And now, of course, as I said before, we have a really, really powerful show lined up for today. And we're ready to go to talk about this phenomenal person that I've had the pleasure of working with. And so it's my pleasure to welcome to Vantage Point none other than Kenneth Henry. Kenneth, welcome to Vantage Point.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. Thank you so much for having me. It's my absolute pleasure and honor to be a guest on your program.
Well, I've watched your work. We've been doing these strategy sessions for, I guess, coming up week number 13. And I've seen you in action before, but I've got a chance to see you up close and personal in terms of the work you do, the joy, the passion, the dedication. And I've just got to interview Kenneth Henry, because a lot of times, you know, the more so-called famous names and people like that get interviewed or they get talked about. But there, it's people like you, Kenneth, who really, really, really get things done and actually make history. So that's why I wanted to have you be on board. So let's begin the conversation by just talking about who you are. I mean, where were you born? Are you from Chicago? Did you move to Chicago? Who were some of your influences? Just talk a bit about your background.
Well, I'm a country girl. Born and raised on the Eastern Shore of Virginia in Accomack County. It's about 75 miles south of the actual original entry point of the first 20 Africans who were brought to this country and who became enslaved. So the only thing that separates us is the Chesapeake Bay. I was born and raised there. I did my high school there, went off to Virginia State University where I did my undergrad work. And I guess the biggest maybe influence for me, after I graduated college there, I interviewed for a job with the New Jersey State, State of New Jersey. They were in a situation, they had decided that they were not going to desegregate their state agencies, and federal government shut off their federal funding. So being in a crunch, they came up with a really quick way to find some folks to hire. They came up with an oral examination, and they went to Southern HBCUs in the South. I interviewed, and I got a job offer that day, and I decided, I'm not going to do anything else. Sounds like a cool job. So being young, dumb, and stupid, I took the job, and I found myself in Camden, New Jersey. I walked in my first day. There were about 50 Europeans in this big space and me. My job was to desegregate that state agency, and they did not send anybody else there but me.
Oh, my goodness.
First of all, can you imagine being just across the water from New York and you are refusing to desegregate your agency? This is a state agency.
Right.
It was an experience. And I decided, I dug my heels in and decided they would not chase me away. The program manager would come every day and he would tell me he didn't like me And as soon as he came up with a way to get rid of me, he was going to personally escort me out the door. And I think that just made me just become more obstinate and to dig my heels in and to say, I dare you to try. So I think that's kind of where it actually got started. And of course,
well, McKinnis, before you go forward, what about your parents? Were any of them engaged or active or involved? It's interesting to know that you, from an HBCU, that you're right across from, you know, where the 1619, the story began. But what about your family? Were any of them influential in sort of moving you in directions of activism?
My mother. I grew up in a household. My mother was no nonsense. She never smiled. And when she spoke, it was as if it was E.F. Hutton. Everybody stopped. They heard what she said and they acted. And this is even in the community. There were folk who just were afraid of Miss Corrine. So growing up in the South, my mother always told us those for colored only signs. And if you wanted a hamburger or an ice cream cone, you had to go down this alley, turn, walk up, knock on this window, and eventually someone would pull up this wooden window, and you would order what you wanted, pay, and eventually they would bring you back and serve it to you. And long before Bill Cosby ever said this, my mother always told us, I brought you into this world. If I ever catch you up that alley trying to buy a hamburger or anything, I'm going to kill you. You don't even have to worry. I'm taking you out. So I've always carried that with me. She's, you know, long since passed, but I honor her every day because I remember her standing up to Europeans. She didn't back down. My mother was not one to back down. And what she said, she meant. And she stood behind it. So right. I got that from my mother.
Right. So when did you learn about how did you learn about reparations?
Always knew about reparations. That was something that you, as a student at a HBCU, you knew about it. You just didn't know how to begin to put it into motion. Again, being in Petersburg, You knew what the real deal was. It wasn't a time that we would walk downtown Petersburg that someone on the wrong side of the track would run out and say something like, I can't wait for you to be sent back to where you came from. And we used to be a bit militant, so we would always question them, where did we come from? And they would always tell us, well, you know, you came from Africa. And because we were so smart, we would always say, there are 54 countries in Africa. Can you tell us which country in Africa we came from? So we had those kinds of interactions with the people in downtown, well, in Petersburg. So it's just a collection of, life experiences that have positioned me to be where I am. And it's not just those early life experiences. I actually had a very personal tragedy in my life 10 years ago. And I found myself in Annapolis, day in and day out, advocating for stronger vehicular manslaughter laws. And I would actually watch Governor O'Malley sign that legislation into law. as a part of that process, I actually ended up filing a ethics complaint against the chairperson of the Judiciary Committee for Maryland General Assembly. So I've done some things.
Mm. And so when did you become involved in within COBRA?
I met in COBRA because I was working with a couple of other groups on reparatory justice. When I met in COBRA, I was actually with there was a group in D.C. called the Reparations Study Group, and they were about the business of educating the community about reparations and the legislation and the history behind it. And I had been doing some work with them. out of that, I met another group, Black Reparations Now. And Black Reparations Now was a group of young people, and they weren't really into, you know, following along with the social etiquette of politics. Theirs was like, hey, give it to me now. And that's when I met Cam while I was with that group. So for a while, I worked between the two, Black Reparations Now, and I did some work supporting Encobra. I came to Encobra in 2017, and I joined the Legislative Commission a year later in January of 2018.
Wow. And just for our audience's sake, many of them know, but I always want to do 101. So would you just share a bit about Encobra so that our audience knows who Encobra is and what its primary mission is?
Sure. Encobra's primary mission is to get reparatory justice for the people by through a legislative process. And that legislative process has been in the works about 32, 33 years. They actually, Encobra has actually been supportive of, at the time, Congressman John Lewis, who introduced the first bill into Congress advocating for reparations for blacks. And that would have been around 1987, 88. Encobra is the premier grassroots movement organization advocating for reparations, reparatory justice for black people in this country or African Americans.
You said John Lewis. I think you meant to say Congressman John Conyers.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. No, we all have John Lewis on our mind. You know, there's the big documentary last night and all that. So we have him on our mind as well. Well, you became involved in 2017. You became the chair of, I mean, they must have obviously seen something in you. So what persuaded you to take on this awesome task of becoming the chair of the legislative committee?
If the truth be told, I really, really do enjoy the dynamics of politics. It's something about it. I'm actually just awed by it every day. So when the invitation came up, I was excited to become a member of the Legislative Commission for Encobra. I love the politics. I love the dynamics of what goes on inside politics and the players and the elected officials. It's just my passion, I'm going to say.
Well, passion is the word, and I have it on my notes here. I said, I have it. Why are you so passionate about H.R. 40, number one? Because I see it every week. And what strategies and tactics do you use to secure co-sponsors? Because you've been very effective at getting people, you know, to sign on.
Your first question. The passion is driven by several things. As I said, I'm from a tiny, tiny, tiny small place on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. And it just fuels me to be able to say a little girl from the small town that I grew up in. I'm not going to call the name, but the little small town I grew up in has come this far. That's number one. And number two, because it is so close to Project 1619, and Virginia has had the history of being hellacious when it comes to how they treated their enslaved folks. So those things drive me to want to make sure that our future generations, not necessarily the generation below me or the generation below that generation, but I'm talking about the generations who my friends are homeschooling and their grandchildren are in kindergarten or first or second grade, and they're saying, Nana, I know more about Zoom than you do. Let me teach you about Zoom. I'm driven by the fact that I don't want them to have to deal with what we've been dealing with for the past 400 plus years, you know, in essence, 500 years. We have to fix this. We have to get it right, and we have to get it right now. It's unfair for us to continue to pass this from generation to generation. And when I do it because I want us to make it better for those generations. I want us to give to leave them a legacy that we never had, to leave them a legacy that only we can do. We have to do this. You know, we're talking about fourth grade black boys who cannot read on the fourth grade level. 80% of them cannot read on the fourth grade level. Reparations can change that. Reparations can rewrite those narratives, and I'm driven by that. What are my strategies? It depends.
I can hear it in your voice. It depends. Okay, tell us.
It depends. It does depend. Wow. Sometimes, for example, I think you and I were in a meeting and you misspoke and said it was 147 co-sponsors, and I knew it was 154. And the reason I knew it was 154 was because there were seven of them. Three of the seven belonged to me. And I had sent the three congresspersons emails. So I go and I read to see what's on their website, you know, what they're passionate about, what they've been talking about in recent times. And honestly, I actually cut and paste their words and put it in an email and send it off requesting that they come on board as co-sponsors.
Wow.
And it's difficult to refute it because those are your words. For example, I have someone I'm working on now who has been out there talking about we have to dismantle systemic racism. We have to change the racist history of this country. I'll let you know if I land him. I took his words, I cut and pasted all of his words and put it in an email requesting that this person come on board as co-sponsor for HR 40. Mm. Now, on the Senate side, it took me a minute. I've worked on a senator for well over a year and a half, and he has become Senator number 20 on Senate Bill 1083. But I was relentless. I would not give up. And because he's one of the senators in the state of Maryland, I did my research and I gave him all kinds of examples of the horrific history of the state of Maryland as it relates to enslaved persons in Maryland. So he did come on board as a co-sponsor about 3 weeks ago.
Mm. Now, one of the things I think people should understand is that you're interacting with the Congress people directly, but very often you're interacting with their staffs, you know, their policy directors and whatever. And what it really demonstrates is that if you're willing to do the research, if you're willing to study in the way that you're talking about studying and being relentless in meeting these people and building a relationship with them, a relatively small core of people and or a person can get a hell of a lot done.
You're absolutely correct. Now, I have to admit that my progress has probably been impeded because of COVID-19. And I like that too, being on the Hill. It would not be uncommon for me to spend 2 or 3 days on the Hill, walking into some elected official's office, collecting business cards, talking to the front desk staff. And COBRA has an awesome primer, HR 40 S1083 primer. I just put a bunch of them in a backpack, and I walk in and I drop off a couple. And often I actually find somebody there that I can talk to, and I ask questions. What is it that needs to happen in order for this elected official to come on board as a co-sponsor? Or are there some questions that this person has that we can provide answers to. Just walking in, having those conversations. And I guess if I were honest with myself, I might have to say I'm a little bit of a social butterfly. So you can walk in and, you know, just be like, oh, my goodness, that's such a beautiful sweater you have on. Or would you mind telling me, you know, just the flattery. And it's amazing what that will do to open up some avenues. I've been in offices where I felt as if I was walking into a war zone. But in a couple of minutes of just being there and having those initial conversations, you've opened up some doors and you can come back and have more conversations. Right. So
as we conclude, a couple of things I want you to close out with. Number one, mm-hmm. if you would share with our audience, because we are now closer than ever before, and I really wanted to come on because you have been instrumental in getting us to this point. We have now more sponsors on HR 40 than ever before, number one, and I want you to mm-hmm. share where we are with HR 40 and what it is that our listening audience can do by way of supporting the effort to get more co-sponsors on the bill.
The highest number of co-sponsors prior to this session has been 35 for HR 40. And until this session, there's never been a companion bill on the Senate side. So just a quick bit of history, having the Senate Bill 1083 and HR 40, this is the first time that there has been any bicameral legislation, meaning that there's legislation in both houses, and it is specifically to speak to the need for a redress of African Americans. And that in and of itself is near historical. It'll become historical when we can get it passed in both houses and over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Today we have 157 co-sponsors for HR 40, and the sponsor makes 158. So we have 158 co-sponsors for HR 40. We have 20 co-sponsors on the Senate side for Senate Bill 1083. And that's a lot because, as you know, the Democrats are in the minority on the Senate side. So to get that many of them as co-sponsors, That's a major accomplishment. Mm-hmm. What can the listening audience do? The listening audience can do a couple of things. NCOBRA has a website, NCOBRAonline.org, and we have created an interactive map. You can go to that website. Again, it's NCOBRAonline.org. The interactive map, you can find your state, click on your state, and then look to see if your elected officials are co-sponsors of HR 40. If not, then you can actually click on your elected official whose name shows up. It'll take you to their contact page, and you will be able to get their contact information, their phone number. And we added the Senate side also. So on the Senate side, it's only two senators per state. That's real easy. Find your state, click on it. And if your senator is not a co-sponsor for Senate Bill 1083, and it's a real easy ask. Call your elected officials and introduce yourself. Tell them what state you're from. And that you're calling to ask your elected officials to become co-sponsors of HR 40 on the House side and Senate Bill 1083 on the Senate side. And then thank them for their time. If you want, there's another application that you can use also. You can also go to congress.gov. And just check to see if your elected officials came on board. If not, go back to the map, collect the information, call them again. And it would be really helpful if you could do it throughout the rest of this year, because our goal is to try and get as many co-sponsors as we can get. Why are we trying to do that? Some of you may be familiar with the fact that last year we actually had a congressional hearing with Ta-Nehisi Coates and Danny Glover. The goal this year is we're pushing to try and have a bill markup, which means the bill is in committee and you discuss the language until you can come out of committee with an agreed upon verbiage for the bill. After that, my passion is I want us to have the floor debates. We have to have those floor debates. Reparations, I believe, it's easy. You can get reparations. The reason we can't get reparations, I believe, is because this country would have to come face-to-face with its history. This country would have to deal with its racism, the racist past. And this is what will happen when we can get to a point where we have those debates, and we have to have that discussion.
Right. Okay, well, would you just, so therefore people can ask, the best way to get information is really to go to the Encobra online, and you can get in all the information that you need from Encobra online and to take it from there. Candace Henry, you are a phenomenal reparations advocate. You have helped to share some of your secrets with me, which I'm gonna learn how to be a social butterfly too and go up in somebody's office and get some more sponsors. And you have done an incredible job. And that's why I wanted our WBAI and our national listening audience to know who you are, because when this bill is passed, and it will pass, you are one of the persons who will have to, you know, I think about reparations Ray Jenkins. He was not necessarily somebody that was well known or whatever, but he kept pounding away. And it's always important to raise up those persons who are on the front lines, you know, who may not necessarily get a lot of publicity and all that, but they are the ones who really make history. So you are a phenomenal reparations advocate, and you are helping us to make history. So I thank you so much for spending time with us today on Vantage Point.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure. Have a great day.
All right. That was Candace Henry, and she is really wonderful. She does an incredible job. And now I know why, and I just have seen her in action, and you can see her light up. And we're having these meetings, and she's going after them, and she's talking about the strategy and tactics that she uses, which are multifaceted, by the way. And a lot of people don't understand that. They only know one thing: call people out by their name, go slamming the door, and this, that, and the other. And that doesn't always work, though sometimes it does. Well, we're up on the soapbox. We are going to open our phone lines actually to you, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. That is for what we call a rapid fire responses. We certainly want to get your take on reparations. Is it an issue whose time has come? Can we get it done? Will we get it done? How can we get it done? 212-209-2877. In addition to that, we certainly have to talk about the breaking news that has just sprung upon us today. And that is about the bankrupt billionaire, the orange man. That's right. The bankrupt billionaire, the orange man, actor, the Academy Award of the century. He's only paid $750 in taxes over the last couple of years, and for about a decade paid no taxes. That's right, the current resident of the White House. The average family with an income of $68,000 pays about $12,000 in taxes. Some $391 million, I think, in personal debt. He's bankrupt. And he has a disputed IRS refund of $73 million. If he has to repay that, that'll with interest be $100 million. This is a bankrupt billionaire posing as a success. He ought to look in the mirror and fire his own damn self. Yes. And oh, yes, $70,000 for his hairdo every year. This is an egomaniacal madman who occupies the White House with a culpable following, cult-like following of at least 35% of the probable voters. That is what is absolutely frightening. Give us a call to comment on that, if you will, at 212-209-2877. Also, you may want to comment on this outrageous decision in the Breonna Taylor case, but people are on the case. They are saying her name out loud, and they're demanding systemic change that is needed urgently. It's about systemic change. No knock warrants need to be banned. The whole question of qualified immunity, these are systemic issues that we have to pass in the name of George Floyd, in the name of Breonna Taylor, and so many that have come before us. Again, you can call us at 202-209-2877. In addition to that, I just wanted to comment on the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG. She held on as long as she could. Mitch McConnell has revealed himself to be, again, and the Republican Party, a bunch of hypocrites. That's right. When Obama was trying to, with 9 months out, trying to get to execute his duty according to the Constitution with Justice Neil Gorsuch, who was carefully selected as being a moderate, because that's what the Democrats do. They go moderate and centrist. It was Mr. McConnell who said, "Oh no, we can't do this. I mean, we have to wait for let the people speak." Well, now we're right up on top of the election. And even though Lindsey Graham, another hypocrite, said it would be otherwise, they don't really care. It's about power, raw, naked power. These people are about pushing forward their agenda. And that agenda is about banning health care, taking the heart out of the Affordable Care Act, reproductive rights, denying them, labor rights, the rights of LGBTQ people, women, voting, the environment. It's rough, folks. It'll be a Plessy. It is. We're on the verge of a Plessy versus Ferguson moment, and the Democrats cannot stop it. They cannot stop it. They can't stop it. They don't have the votes, because elections matter. Elections have consequences. Judge Barrett, who's going to be selected, a young person, you know, this is not personal about her. She'll be on the Supreme Court for at least probably three decades she will be on the court, way beyond the various administrations that the various presidential administrations. They will have cemented in place a judiciary, which in fact will give rulings on whether or not the environmental regulations and working regulations and all of these things are constitutional or not. That's what is at stake, and was at stake in the last elections. Elections have consequences. Give us a call to 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Reparations is on the table. Criminal justice policy in relationship to the George Floyd case, but most recently Breonna Taylor, and what must be done there. But also your thoughts about elections matter. Do they matter? What will matter? What matters? What shall we do in this forthcoming election? Let me just see. Do we have callers as of yet? Let me just check and see. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Jewel Pollard, and I'm actually a teacher in Irvington, New Jersey. And I am 2,000% in favor of reparations. I actually had my students write essays on reparations.
Oh, great.
In 2019, because, you know, at first with the election, that was a hot button topic at first. Unfortunately, it seems like it's faded off. Once certain people are in certain positions, you don't hear that reparations talk anymore. But, you know, when it was looked at something to get, you know, I guess to the next phase, people were talking about reparations, and I had my students write essays about reparations. And I can honestly say I want to give a shout-out to Congressman Donald Payne. We sent our essays to many different people. Let me just say many different people. Congressman Donald Payne actually wrote back that he came to our school to sit in on a student council meeting. And that was so important for my students because my students, they ended up on the front page of the Irvington Herald, and they were saying how it was nice to see, you know, them on the front cover for something, you know, positive coming from where they are.
Right.
They really articulated their responses, like, very well. The unfortunate thing that I found overall is that sometimes in urban areas, we don't even advocate for our students as much as we should. I'm an African-American female, and I look at my, I teach mainly Latino and Black students, and I, you know, this month we're Hispanic Heritage Month, we're doing reparations. But that hasn't, I don't, where has it been beforehand? I know I always taught that in our curriculum, and it's just been so absent overall. And even recently, I wanted to hold a Black Lives Matter rally. And some people consider that political. And it's sad that in urban areas where the majority of teachers don't resemble the people that they teach, where they can call even Black Lives Matter political when that is, it's not political. That's a moral and ethical issue.
Right.
Just like reparations. That is moral and ethical. And I think anyone that questions reparations at this point, or how it always seems like when it comes to Black justice and what we're owed, it's always a yeah, but. But I think with other people, they've paid everybody else all of their, you know, whether it was the Japanese and the internment, the Native Americans, Jewish people, they've gotten theirs. Black people built this country. So why is it always the yeah, but? How do we start? You start just like how you did with everybody else. Just like how everybody got theirs. Just pay us. Like, where else are you going to have people working where you don't pay them? And you think it's okay.
All right. Okay. Well, we got your opinion, and we appreciate the work that you're doing, and continue to do that. Continue to educate your students, because that's what it, that's what it, how it gets done. Kenneth Henry is an excellent example of how, in some instances, one or two or three or four by themselves working in working dedicated fashion can help to move the issue forward. Thank you so much for calling us. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Reparations, criminal justice policy, elections. Do you understand why elections matter now? Do you understand why elections have consequences now? I say that because there are some people who kind of didn't really get it. I hope you get it now. Call us at 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, family. I am a native New Yorker who has been relocated to Jersey and or nearby Jersey City. And I've been voting since, I guess I'm about 17 or 18. And I can remember the days when I voted foolishly for the Black Panther Party candidates and others. However, and I remember my folks telling me that that was a waste, but I told them, this is my thought process, and I did what I thought was right at the time. What we really
can I stop you for just a minute? Things are situational. Everything is situational. So yeah. I don't, you know, I think that there were many, many times when there were third party candidates. I ran as an independent candidate for president. So, you know, everything is about the situation. What's the right thing to do in this moment? So certainly, I think you did the right thing for voting for the Black Panther Party candidate. So, but anyway, continue.
Yes, of course. I thought so, even as a youngster. But of course, my parents and other adults did not think so at the time. But that, of course, that was to their way of thinking, which is okay. Now today I've grown into a more sophisticated adult, a more sophisticated voter. And I did something in the last election that I don't often tell anyone, but I did not vote for Hillary because I knew she was going to lose and that was a waste of time. Now, Mr. Trump, being the disabled adult that he is, he speaks for disability. Now, okay, everybody has spoken. Okay, with that being said, we hope that his purpose has been served. He is thoroughly embarrassing in many ways, and that is unfortunate, but that is how his disability is discernible. It is how we are, it is visible to us, in other words. We pray that he will not get in another 4 years, because surely the United States will not, we will right. not live through it. No, we won't. And now Breonna Taylor, her life was worth whatever the $12 million will buy. That is why they did at the Civil what they thought was best, at least to me. They paid so that they didn't have to do anything with those three cops. They did not have to indict them. Their thing was take this money and we will move on. And we will move
right.
on.
Well, that's not the way the family felt about it, nor the attorneys yeah. and so forth. Appreciate your opinion. We got to move on to other callers. But the family certainly extracted some reforms with that. The dollars came some reforms. Those reforms will have to be enforced, but they are good reforms. But clearly on that day, Benjamin Crump and others said that was not the end of it. They wanted justice in terms of the police officers being charged. That did not happen, but that's not the end of it. As we say, a lucha continua, the struggle continues. And I think beyond just praying about it, you know, it seems it's very important that you do something about it, put some feet to your prayers. And if in fact you think somebody's not good, and you don't think they can win, then you voted because you added your vote to the person who did win. So that's a kind of interesting kind of logic. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Let's see, do we have other callers? Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hey, hi. Okay, let me get people.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Janine here. I'm fine. So that means that woman who, I mean, I'm calling to say, you were saying if elections matter. So that means that woman voted for Trump, right? Okay, she didn't vote for Hillary. Fine. So look at the mess we're in because of the thinking. Okay, now we're in this predicament. Yes, Green Party's wonderful. Yes, but it's not going to happen. So what do we do? What do you do? Don't vote? So that vote goes to Trump? Or what do you do? Vote for Trump again? You see, that's stupid thinking. Yeah, the lesser of the evil is Biden now, okay? And that's who you vote for.
All right. Okay. Appreciate
okay?
your opinion.
That is a stupid thing to say.
Okay. All right. But it's not okay. sort of rub it in. Some people just, that's the way they feel. So I don't really, you know, I kind of feel your sentiment, but I don't want to, you know, I mean, they feel that way and we could flesh it out more. I could really give some reasons why it ain't a lesser evil too, but I'll write about that. I'll send you to our website to look at that as well. 212-209-2877. Just a few more minutes to get rapid responses. 212-209-2877. Let's take our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hello?
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
You're on the air. Please turn your radio down and just talk to us.
No, I did turn my radio down.
We're waiting for you. We got other callers behind you. So what's your opinion, your attitude on reparations, the Breonna Taylor case, or the question of elections having consequences, particularly as now being illustrated by the unfortunate demise of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the fact that there will be a new Supreme Court judge, a right-wing judge, ultra-conservative, that will be installed. Nothing the Democrats can do about it.
Not unless they can get somebody else from the Senate to side with them.
The Republicans are in lockstep. You know, they got enough votes and they're going to jam it through because there are not enough Democrats to stop them, which means that in the last election or in this election coming up, the question becomes how do people deal with that if, in fact, you know, you're faced with this hypocritical, endorsement, enabling of this madman who is currently the resident of the White House.
Oh, he is definitely mad. I mean, he is mad as a hatter.
Mad as a hatter. That's a good one. All right. That's a good one. Well, look, we appreciate your call. Others can call at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Let's see, can we get a couple of more in before we have to make way for the next program? Good afternoon. You're on with the professor. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
Nope.
Okay. All right. If you got open lines, people can call right now. Again, we just wanted to tell people if they want to be supportive of reparations, you can go to the NCORBA website. NCORBA, that's NCOR. Let me stop, slow down. NCOBRA, NCORBA, NCOBRA online.org. And you'll be able to get all the information that you need. Also, we've talked about the Community Cares Listening Line. In these very difficult times, you know, people may feel anxious. They may see the child abuse, domestic abuse, instructions or some listening and counseling about what to do with your children, going back into these schools. And there's just so many issues that are plaguing us. And now you can call 877-719-1117, 877-719-1117. We thank you so much. There are people who actually have been responding. There's also a need for volunteers to be listening, to help out. We need to be helping each other, sharing with each other, taking care of each other in order to avoid a spike and to make sure that we're not infecting each other. So it's not about me, myself, and I. It's about we, us, and ours. It's about community values. And we think that's important. Once again, the census, you got about four more days left. Thursday is the last day. Please go do the census. Registering to vote, October 9th is the last day. I think I've got that correct. Early voting, if you don't want to stand in line on November 3rd, you can do early voting. Go to your website. They'll tell you what your sites are. Early voting begins here in New York on Saturday, October 24th from 9 o'clock a.m. To 4 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. So these are all important things that we can do, and you are able to do them by way of listening to WBAI. By the way, big debate tomorrow night. Everybody should be tuned in. There will be coverage by WBAI in collaboration with WPFW on the Pacifica Network. I'm sure that information is being publicized, so you don't have to go to the mainstream in order to check it out. You have excellent analysts here on WBAI to check out what is going on, to give opinions about the debate and what is included, not included, what should have been included. You'll get those perspectives right here on WBAI. The other thing before I close, become a WBAI buddy. Become a WBAI buddy. We need people who to support this fortress and citadel of resistance and transformation. I just can't say it enough. It's redundant. It sounds this is the most critical moment in the last half century, at least in these United States of America. And you're hearing the debates and the discussions and the discussion about which way forward right here on WBAI. If WBAI buddy is someone who just commits to, if they haven't and can afford it, $10 a month, $120 a year, it means that you can become a sustaining contributor so that the management knows exactly how much resources are coming in. If we can get hundreds upon hundreds of people who listen to WBAI to enlist as WBAI buddies, that would be a good thing. So you can go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or sign up. Or you can call right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. This is the professor. We certainly have enjoyed the program for this week, laying out the phenomenal reparations advocate, Kenneth Henry, and also taking your calls on the soapbox. And we'll see you again here next week on Vantage Point. Hey.